If you want the future, you must fight for it.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to The War Room, the latest addition to InfoWars live programming. The War Room is live weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Central at InfoWars.com/show and WarRoom.show. You can follow us at War Room Show on Twitter and The War Room Show on Facebook. And all of our content can be found on our YouTube channel. Subscribe for notifications. Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone bring you the day's biggest stories, as well as the latest breaking news, with a no-holds-barred, aggressive approach and commitment to bringing you the most cutting-edge analysis and information. For far too long, the liberal media complex has controlled the narrative. For far too long, the silent majority has been muzzled. The silent majority is no longer silent, and we control the narrative now. This is The War Room.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to The War Room. Glad to be with you here on this Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We will be joined by Dr. Steve Pachenik here in the first hour, and Roger Stone will be joining us in the second hour as usual. And you have noticed, I'm sure, that our studios are very festive today, and we have a special guest. How about that? It's President Trump, ladies and gentlemen. He's decided he's going to have to take care of things himself. You know what they say? If you can't get things done, get it done yourself. So he's just decided he's going to go ahead and drag Hillary off to prison himself there. Can't seem to get anyone else to do it. But Hillary, what is it like? I mean, clearly it's been brutal for you. You aren't looking well. Now you're in a headlock from President Trump. How are you feeling right now?
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Wow. Okay, well, maybe he'll just have to leave you in prison then, Hillary. I mean, are you nervous right now? Are you nervous that all of the criminality, the Clinton Foundation,
all
the money, Hillary? Are you worried, Hillary, that you might have justice facing you? Are you worried about maybe something happening to you and you going to prison? No. Yeah. What? Hillary, are you worried you might be going to prison for your crimes? I guess, okay. Well, Hillary, she can no longer answer any questions, folks. I'm sorry. She's had a wicked coughing spell. Donna Brazile, you know, she told you, oh, it's gross. Hillary, you need to see a doctor immediately. Maybe President Trump, he's going to do the nice thing. He's going to take Hillary to a doctor, and then after that, maybe to prison. So he is a tolerant man after all. Oh, that just has to stop. That just has to stop. All right, President Trump, please get Hillary out of here. She's clearly sick. She's coughing all over the desk. It's really just quite foul. It's really quite foul. Thank you, President Trump, for wrangling Hillary up into a headlock, getting her out of the studios. Come on, Hillary, you're coughing all over the desk. That's my coffee. Gosh, I'm going to need a new coffee, guys. Hillary hacked all into my coffee. All right, well, Hillary Clinton, folks, she stops by the War Room today. Thank you so much, Hillary. We're glad to take a couple questions from you. Best of luck and health. And maybe there's a doctor that can see you in prison when justice finally comes to your front door. All right, folks, the War Room begins when we come back. Happy Thanksgiving from everyone at InfoWars.
This is the War Room.
Welcome into the War Room. It is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Happy Thanksgiving to you from everyone at InfoWars. And we are live right now, and we've got stacks of news, breaking videos. I've got an entire stack. In fact, such a big stack, I had to expand it into a double stack. Rarely do you get that here on the InfoWars War Room desk, but I had to expand to a double stack. All of the sexual assault allegations that are coming down. So we'll be getting into that. We'll be looking at some news coming out of the job market and the economy, as well as some liberal nonsense as usual. As well, not just overall liberal nonsense, but specifically on the issue of sexual assault. And I got a little fired up over a Time magazine article yesterday. So I'm going to try to actually have a normal blood pressure and pulse while I'm breaking it down today and maybe make some more sense of it. And then I've got a proposal, actually. I have decided I'm going to be heading up the Michelle Obama for President 2020 campaign right here. My theory is if we can start the Michelle Obama for President movement, we can kind of skirt the excitement around the cult of personality that will be Michelle Obama. So I've got a proposal I want to lay out for Roger Stone, as he suggested I spearhead that movement. But back to the sexual assault things, you won't believe what some of the liberals are saying on Twitter. And it's exactly what has me so fired up, because I see what their real end goal here is. And you wouldn't even believe some of the things that they're saying on Twitter. And you have to understand, when they write these stories or they accuse Trump supporters of being certain things, that's you. They are directly, they hate you. I'm telling you, the left political movement right now, anti-Trump, Democrat, liberal, whatever title, whatever name you want to put on it, it is the biggest hate group in America. It's not even close. These people march in the streets for abortion. Need I say more? Need I say more? You try to do an interview with them, and they tell you they're happy that they kill their kids. I really shouldn't even have to go any further, but this is the cult that we're dealing with. The good news is we got Trump in office. We have taken over some of the arms of the government, and we have a chance in 2018 with the midterm elections to really get perhaps, I mean, honestly, how many Congresses go down in history? Guys, look it up. What Congress is this? I don't even remember. It's like the 115th or something. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Of all the Congresses, what Congress is taught in history as the most influential Congress or the most important midterm elections? I mean, I think this is it. Of course it is. This was the most important presidential election. So of course this is the most important midterms. Hey guys, actually look this up. I want to know this for future reference so we can know what Congress we're about to be electing in 2018. But the good news is we are taking the culture back. We are taking the media back. And so many times what you see in the news today, okay, so it is the 115th. So many times what you see in the news today, we've reported even decades ago. So we will be electing the 116th United States Congress in the midterms, and it is the most important Congress perhaps ever. And if you can get a Congress that is in and behind the Trump agenda, I mean, look at everything Trump has done without the Republican establishment. With half of the Democrat Party spending their entire time on the Hill complaining about Trump. They don't even deal with local issues anymore. They don't even deal with anything else. It's Trump bashing nonstop. All you need to do is look at Maxine Waters. So what are they actually doing? Who would actually elect these people again? And then, of course, you've got the media. Never in the history of the media has the media spent more time on Trump. And then on top of that, never in the history of the media has it been more consistently negative. And still, look at everything Trump has done. And the rejection is almost personified in what LeVar Ball, or how LeVar Ball responded to President Trump getting his son out of prison. Trump puts whatever he's doing in China aside to have to address an immature crime committed by a college basketball player. He solves that issue, brings them home, and then one of the fathers disrespects Trump multiple times when asked about that situation. That's the entire liberal establishment. That's the entire Republican establishment. That's the entire Trump protest. Here he is. I mean, look at these stories I have here. Christmas bonuses are up 66%. U.S. jobless claims fall as record run persist. Stock market booms. Unemployment down. Even food stamps down. Hunger down. Look at what's happening in Saudi Arabia. It looks like there's actually some good regime change possibly happening there. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on here. But no, Trump is the bad guy. Trump bad. Oh, hey, Trump goes to China, gets LiAngelo Ball out of a possible 10-year jail sentence. The father says, I don't care. It's the same. It's all the same. It's the same thing with this rejection of Trump without even giving him a chance. And it's honestly sad. It's honestly sad because if we could, why not even just give him a chance? People can't even, just the idea, just the thought of getting behind the Trump agenda or getting in the Trump movement is so dehumanized, so vilified by the media that just the thought of it is so scary to these people, they would literally rather scream at the sky. They would rather dress in a chicken outfit and go to a Trump protest. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what they do. This is what we report on. And this is what we're dealing with here. And you know what? I had this thought, and I want to be quoted on this. I wrote it down, so I want to make sure I say it right, because this is sadly what we're dealing with here. Instead of sharpening their minds, they've sharpened axes and are coming to cut down everything that built society because they don't fit in. They are rejects. They are bums. And it's all by their own accord. But it won't matter because this is the American Renaissance. This is the Great Awakening 3.0, if you will. This is the next American Revolution. And even if they're rejecting it now, even if they're fighting it now, even if they can't see it now, even if they don't want to be a part of it now, even if they just want to ignore all of it, they will all have to come around in the end because we're winning the culture war. And I think even though, despite everything they're trying to do to keep their stranglehold on the political establishment, the political inner workings of our government, we are actually starting to buck that too. And Trump was the beachhead. Trump put the hole or cracks in the foundation of the establishment's wall, trying to block anyone else from infiltrating. And it's like a sieve now. I mean, look at all the people in Congress. What if they actually release? Tom Fitton tweets this out. Originally, we were told we couldn't have the FOIA request. Tom Fitton tweets this out this morning. Judicial Watch FOIA'd U.S. Treasury last week for docs on the $15 million slush fund for congressional corruption. Donald Trump should direct the agency to release the records. Imagine if we got those records, folks. Already an opportunity in 2018 to elect a Congress that will make America great again. Imagine if we got these names of all of these entrenched politicians that are now vulnerable. Oh my gosh, it's leaking like a sieve. We'll be right back with more of The War Room. Yeah. Welcome back to the War Room. We'll be joined by Dr. Steve Pachinik in the next segment. Looking forward to that discussion. In this segment, though, I've got some video clips I want to get to. And I was just describing in the last segment how the political left has become the biggest hate group in America. If you like Trump, they hate you. That's all that matters. Do you like Trump? Yes, I hate you. That's how the left feels. And I really don't even know how to break this down. This is MSNBC reporter Cassie Hunt basically just having an honest slip up on air, telling you that she's basically happy that Rand Paul got attacked. Here is MSNBC reporter Cassie Hunt saying that Rand Paul getting attacked is her favorite story.
New details today on the incident that left Senator Rand Paul with six broken ribs. This might be one of my favorite stories, although, of course, we don't want to. Clearly, Senator Paul is still struggling. Paul's neighbor, Rene Boucher.
I already did. Did you hear that? Here, rewind it back. She's like, of course we don't. You know what she was about to say.
New details today on the incident that left Senator Rand Paul with six broken ribs. This might be one of my favorite stories, although, of course, we don't want to. Clearly, Senator Paul is still struggling. Paul's neighbor, Rene Boucher, is accused of.
Pause it right there, actually, because I do want to finish this clip because it actually gets more ridiculous, if you can believe that. Not on her behalf, but. So she says it's one of her favorite stories. What is she saying there? Okay, one can only reason a guess that she means she's happy Rand Paul got attacked. And then you can tell she realizes what she said. And she's like, of course, we don't want to admit that. We don't want to say that on air. And then she tries to slyly just roll it on out. Oh, but Paul is still struggling. Yeah, apparently he can't even breathe without feeling pain. But listen to the rest of the story. Listen to the rest of this clip and the rest of the story.
Beating the senator, and GQ reports that lawn care issues may well have been at the heart of the dispute. A neighbor told the magazine that Boucher pays about $150 a month for professional landscaping, while Paul maintains his yard himself. I guess that's the libertarian in him. The neighbor also said that part of what bothered Boucher was the difference in grass length between his lawn and that of Senator Paul's, and that Paul sprayed grass clippings onto his yard while mowing his own grass. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the reason for the first assault on a sitting U.S. senator in decades.
First of all, the first assault in a U.S. senator in decades. Well, this whole thing is crazy. Did you hear what she says? She's like, I guess that's the libertarian in him. Like, oh, ooh. When they're supposed to be liberals, like, oh, look at this. Look at this leftist over here. By the way, another unhinged leftist. This guy's notoriously a lefty politically. He's like, oh, I pay to have my lawn cared for and mowed in the right way. I'm a good liberal. And then here's this snobby libertarian who thinks he can just mow his own lawn. The nerve. Do you see the half-inch difference, sir? You need to hire my guy. But can you believe she admits that that's her favorite story? Thoughts and prayers with Rand Paul. Not my favorite story. It's upsetting that this happens because of someone's political beliefs. But again, more evidence that the left is the biggest hate group in America. So that's nice. Way to go, MSNBC. You just keep getting classier and classier. Actually, guys, let's go to clip three here. Now, here's someone on Fox Business actually making sense. This is Harlan Hill. This is Harlan Hill, who really puts into words exactly what's going on right now with the judicial system appointed by former President Barack Hussein Obama.
And you know why this is happening? Do you know why the courts are injecting themselves into big American political policy? It's because Democrats can't win. So judges have become activists. They've become legislators. And that's not the role of the courts. And it's because Democrats have no role in running this country, in legislating at scale. because they've lost across the country in every state house and at the federal level.
Well, your point is that the courts are legislating. That's essentially
absolutely
what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. But now,
there's really nothing else to say. He just laid it out perfectly. All of these appointed judges from the Obama administration are not judges. They're activists. And they're forced to act politically and put their agenda where it doesn't belong because the political left can't win any elections. The only chance, look at how sad it is to be a Democrat right now. The only chance you have to win an election where you don't already have an entrenched blue state, the only chance you have is to character assassinate your opponent by bringing up sexual assault allegations from decades ago, forging a yearbook signature, and making up a story about him getting banned from some hall. And then you have all of your most likely CIA mockingbirds go on the mainstream media and then repeat this story. I can't tell you how it's like there's like a certain level of anger, and then there's like a certain level of just like, it's like a kick to the groin. Like, you go on TV and you say something over and over again that isn't true. This is all they do about Donald Trump. How this guy puts up with it is unbelievable. And then someone puts out his son's address on social media, doxes his son's school, says attack Barron Trump. These people are sick. These people are sick. But here's Trump addressing all of the harassment allegations that have been hitting the media as of late.
Women are very special. I think it's a very special time because a lot of things are coming out, and I think that's good for our society, and I think it's very, very good for women. And I'm very happy a lot of these things are coming out, and I'm very happy it's being exposed.
Okay, so will President Trump take it one step further and release the names of the congressmen and women involved in the $15 million of taxpayer money spent on settling sexual harassment claims? As I said, Judicial Watch has FOIA'd the U.S. Treasury to release the documents. Tom Fitton has now called on President Trump to move forward with the release of these documents. Why isn't this the number one thing in the media? Why isn't this on all medias? Because everyone wants to report on every new allegation they're going to report as fact without any judge, any jury, any trial. But when you actually have the document with $15 million of taxpayer dollars, why isn't that the number one topic on every Capitol Hill discussion? Trump Russia. Well, I thought sexual assault was the big thing. Guess not. Steve Pachinik joins us on the other side.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Welcome back to The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are now joined by Dr. Steve Pachinik. As always, you can find him at stevepachinik.com as well as on Twitter. An expert on everything behind the scenes going on with regime changes and the likes of military operations. Dr. Pachinik, thank you so much for joining me today over the holiday.
Pleasure, Owen. Congratulations on your new show. I'm very proud of you, and I'm proud of InfoWars. You deserve it, Owen. You've worked hard, so I think it's great. And you look great.
Thank you for coming on today. This is your first time on with me here.
Huh?
This is your first time on The War Room, so I'm glad that it happens over Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, it's an honor for me. Owen.
And look at that. And he has a smile on his face to boot, so you know he's happy. You know he's glad to be on because he has a smile.
Well, because you are, like Alex, you have the same technique and the same talent. You're informative and you have a good sense of humor. Nothing can beat that. That's the problem with the mainstream media, quite frankly, all. They don't have a sense of humor, and they don't have a sense of perspective. You and Alex and the whole group have a sense of perspective, and you happen to be right on. Trump was correct when he said, you know what, the best thing that's happened so far is the fact that women are complaining and the harassment charges are coming out. I look at it a little bit differently, but I agree with him. What's happening, in effect, and I've written it in a blog, is that women are coming into power. The asymmetry of power, women have been socialized to be second in command, so to speak, is over. What's happening now is the young women, the millennials, and other women are coming into a parity position. And it came through kind of a revolution that I had not expected, which was really sexual harassment, which begs the question, not only the individual involved, but what happened to the entity? When you have a Charlie Rose and he's on both PBS and he's on CBS and he's been there for 20 to 30
and
years.
And Bloomberg as well. He also was suspended from Bloomberg.
Right. So how is it possible? Tell me, Owen, I really have no idea, understand how PBS, Bloomberg, and CBS did not know about his maladroit and miscreant behavior, that he was harassing women. They knew about it.
Absolutely.
So what we're really getting into is a far bigger revolution. It's not just about the individual. It's about the systems that are involved. The media, the public broadcasting system, is funded by the citizens. It should have been involved in immediately dismissing it. So the fact comes, the issue right now is who was involved over Charlie Rose. In other words, who's responsible for it? Let's start firing the people at PBS.
Well, we know that I think it was either his manager or perhaps it was the manager that was whatever department at CBS. She had been complained to by assistants, by interns before, and she just sloughed it off like, oh, that's just Charlie. That's just old Charlie. So that, I mean, that was a woman too.
That's correct, Owen. So what happens, it's irrespective of a woman. When you come into power politics, it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. Normally, the woman is considered asymmetrical in power, doesn't have as much power. So she was afraid. What happens to a system like this is what we call collusion. Everybody gets together and quietly agrees not to disturb the major problem or the major product. In the case of Charlie Rose, he's a product. The product that went into CBS, that went into PBS, that went into Bloomberg. Everybody up and down that chain is responsible for the collusion that was involved. I mean, in other words, you don't have one co-conspirator. You have a whole group of co-conspirators. And that's what's happening in Congress, in the Senate. Now we have to start cleaning them out. It's not just a question of the individual. It's a question of the entire system. For example, I've been in Hollywood. I understand the system. The system is corrupt. To say that Harvey Weinstein's the only individual who molested 5 or 10 or 12 women is absurd. I could show you a whole scan of individuals who were involved. And the system is so corrupt that I was able to basically intimidate the system into giving me money to leave the system. That's how weak the system is in Hollywood. It's also that weak in the congressional system. In other words, these systems have to be cleaned out. Then we have to ask ourselves, are they relevant? Do we really need a senator and a congressman? The answer for me is no, not in the world of the internet. They're totally irrelevant. They take our money. They waste
our
time.
I think they've been irrelevant for a while, but I want to step back for a second because I want to get to the root of this issue. Do you think that, I mean, how much of this do you think is organic and how much do you think of this is collusion on the back end to try to create an environment where politically you can go after any enemy you want by saying he sexually harassed me, she sexually harassed me. And then the media just reports that as truth, as guilt. And then it's just over politically for that individual.
It's a good question, Owen. Basically, it's inherently organic. In other words, within the systems, they're all collusive. What's happening right now as the part of the revolution that's coming out is the system itself or the part where I say I accuse somebody, becomes weaponized. And that type of attack has become part of the revolution that breaks open the system. So the system is now wide open. You've got an inferno of discontent coming out, and it will continue until there'll be a subsistence of accusations, and then the systems have to be cleaned out. Some of them may not appear. Let me give you a sense. I mean, I work at the Producers Guild in Hollywood. I don't see the movie industry continuing. Basically, what you're seeing is the end of an industry that was producing hundreds of millions of dollars of films that nobody saw. You see the end of the TV industry. Nobody was watching it. You're looking at CNN. That's the death of CNN. That's gone. With the AT&T coalition with Time Warner, and I was part of Time Warner, you're going to see the end of CNN and the various other talk shows because they're really not interested. In turn, what happened, and I kept saying it, the Alex Jones show, your show, becomes more important because you were initiated 12, 13, 14 years ago through the internet. And the old systems never understood it. Congress never really understood that I can literally get rid of every congressman and senator and vote. I don't need somebody there to discuss my case. I don't need somebody in Hollywood to make a $380 million film when I can see some streaming going on for 5 cents or 20 cents. They're antiquated. Whereas InfoWars is still the major news outlet, which we call the alt-right, the alternative right. Well, they can call it whatever they want. The truth of the matter is we've been more accurate and more incisive than any other newspapers. But, Owen, the answer is yes, it is organic to the system. Then what happens? They weaponize the individual accusations so that they can try to get maximum leverage. That's not going to work.
So that's an interesting take, and it's kind of a breakthrough for me philosophically to think that this could be what brings about the end of the mainstream media, not their lies over the decades. The fact that they've pretended to hoist this virtue over the rest of the people saying we're for women, we're for minorities, when CNN has hundreds of racial discrimination cases going on right now. A lot of these leftist media outlets are suffering from sexual harassment claims. Look at Mark Halperin, look at Weinstein, look at Thrush. The list goes on and on. And then you mentioned kind of how there's a bit of a French Revolution aspect of this with the I accuse. But I want to get this on the other side. We'll leave a little cliffhanger, Steve. Just give them a little cliffhanger. But why do you think they're projecting this onto the rest of society? Why do you think that the media and Hollywood and the press is trying to project this onto the rest of us?
You have an excellent question there. The projection, let me give you a little technical detail in psychiatry. Projection, denial, and distortion are the most primitive defense mechanisms you can have for an individual or for a group. So you've hit it right on the head. As they're falling apart, as they're hitting the moribund period of their life, in other words, they're entering into a death spiral, the only defense mechanism they really have is projection. To accuse others of what they were guilty of. Nobody personifies that more in my ideal than Charlie Rose. He hit 4 different networks, 4 of which will not be here, 1 of which we have funded. But when you look at it, it's a total travesty. What happens in collusion when you break it up?
These are all symptoms. We'll be right back with Dr. Patinic. These are all symptoms of the establishment collapsing, folks, and dying. Welcome back to the War Room. Dr. Patinic is our guest, and in the last segment, we were getting into why the establishment media and some of the establishment politicians are trying to project this culture that's being exposed in Hollywood, the entertainment industry, certain media outlets of sexual harassment and men just basically bullying women into doing whatever they want. And I was asking Steve why they're trying to project that onto the rest of us in society. And he was breaking it down how this is a defense mechanism because now they see themselves as vulnerable as this is all being exposed. And philosophically, this is another symptom or a sign to recognize that the establishment is dying right now in these entities, in these outlets. Go ahead and expand on that, Dr. Patinic.
Well, what happens is when you expose a Charlie Rose and you get the underlying sanctimonious nature and the hypocrisy of a Charlie Rose, who knows very well what he was doing, and he knows very well that he was bullying everybody, yet he took the position of a very high-handed individual who really could do no wrong, say no wrong, and seemed really perfect. The problem was that he knew within that background he was totally vulnerable. So was the system. And what happened is the system was racing around to cover up all the misdeeds that he had had, mainly the women he had hit upon, the women he had walked in front of naked. I mean, all the nonsense that came out, and shows how a pathetic individual he was. But that's not the only issue. The real issue is not only that he's pathetic, but that the establishment through which paid him millions and millions of dollars was absolutely out of control and absolutely hypocritical and very deleterious to any individual, any ideas, or any philosophy. Let me give you an example. PBS covered him for what, 10, 20 years? That's our funding. Yet they knew very well he was a problem. CBS knew very well he was a problem. That's millions and millions of dollars that went into covering it up. Bloomberg News knew he was a problem. There wasn't any secrets here. He didn't make any bones about it. He was very proud about it for 20, 30 years that he was a jock who could grab any woman that he wanted to and literally use his power. This is about power and asymmetry of power. He was more powerful than an individual. That individual happened to be a woman, but he was doing the same thing throughout the system. So the system became collusive. That is, in order to protect itself, it was very vulnerable, and it all got together to make sure that no one would squeal on this guy because he was the weakest element in a weak system. In order to protect themselves, they accused us, the conservatives, the right wing, it didn't matter, Trump. And Trump never denied what his past was. But on the other hand, he's had his daughter, he's had a beautiful wife, you know, he's comported himself with some elegance, and that couldn't stick on him. So what happened is Trump very cleverly allowed everybody to project their own discontent onto him. And what you saw was one massive failure after another. It wasn't just a woman on a woman. It was Kevin Spacey on a young man. It was not only homosexual, it was pedophilia. And what I'm concerned about is that the entire system is really concealing a huge pedophilia ring that goes from the State Department, the White House, not this White House, but the other White Houses, and the politicians right into Hollywood. And that would be really criminal. And that's what's going on. As you see the adult system breaking down of heterosexual, homosexual, LGBT, whatever that may be, it gets to the really rancid part, which is pedophilia. And that is the sine qua non of corruption and treason. And that's where we have to get to very quickly now.
Yeah, if the thread keeps getting pulled on, I think the sweater will eventually reveal all of that. And it's almost it's almost some crazy twisted irony where the tape that they released, the Billy Bush tape that they released to try to slander and character assassinate Trump, what he said in that tape actually comes out as being true. That's all these men were doing. That's how all of these men felt. I mean, so they hate Donald Trump for saying it, and then it all comes out that, okay, well, this is how they all felt.
Well, it's interesting, Owen. You bring up a point, and, you know, I've been saying for a long time, everybody wants to portray Trump as sick or in some way incompetent. And I said, no, he's not. Whatever personality traits he has are his. You may not like them. That's your problem or somebody's problem. It's not my problem. But what Trump doesn't do, and he doesn't filter a lot of the junk that comes through to a politician, so he'll mirror it right back. When he said that the father of that young man who stole something in China is ungrateful, he's correct. I don't care what the underlying issue is. I don't care if the individual, the gentleman's black, green, or yellow. When you steal something in China, believe me, you're going to jail. I know the Chinese. I've worked with them. I have a full respect. But for Trump to say to somebody, look, you ingrate, I was the one who brought it up. It wasn't an issue of the State Department or anybody else. President Xi Jinping listens to one man only. That's Trump. For many, many reasons. He understands power, and power comes back to Xi through Trump and vice versa. He doesn't listen to the State Department.
Yeah, yeah. Trump was right. Trump was right. And LeVar Ball is just, you know, an ungrateful, disrespectful, sad sack.
But Dr. Pretenic,
I only got 4 minutes left with you. I got to change subjects here before I got you, get you off here. What do you make of, and I want to take it one step further, how rare is it? Is this common? Is this rare? H.R. McMaster supposedly drinking and bad-mouthing President Trump, insulting him, he's a clown, he's this. Is that a lone act? Is that how other people feel around Trump? And what do you make of that story now breaking, even though it was reported months ago?
Okay, well, if that's the case, McMaster's in serious trouble. We in the Clancy franchise had given him some money for ArmCat. That was back in early 2000. I don't know the gentleman himself, but if he badmouths the president and he shoots off his mouth, there's no excuse for that. He has to be fired immediately. One of the things that I've always respected in the Reagan, the Schultz administration, and the Bush administration, and even in the Kissinger administration, we had a tight ship. Every single individual would not express anything like that in front of anybody else. It wasn't a question of hypocrisy. It was simply a question of having command and control and keeping your mouth quiet. No one could do that better than Baker. Baker did it for the Reagan administration. He did it for Bush Sr. And what you did is he incurred respect for the presidency, and he incurred respect for him, for Bush. And also for Baker. But at the same time, you didn't have to always agree with him. But if you shoot your mouth off about the president, listen, I didn't agree with Jimmy Carter and what he did. But what I did was I resigned when he made the final order for me to go to Iran. I'd been insubordinate before on the hostage siege. I was insubordinate on another siege. So the only thing I felt that was legitimate for me as a military officer, Navy captain, was to resign. And I resigned quietly. And after me, 6 months later, Cyrus Vance resigned. That is the right way to perform in the White House. You do not deprecate the president for any other reason if you're working for him. If you do that, leave the job. Have the courage to leave. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm not totally surprised.
So you don't think this is going on, though, amongst anyone else in the administration or anyone else that hovers around the Oval Office with President Trump?
Well, you and I know it's a leading question, though. And the answer is, of course, it must be going on because Trump elicits a whole gamut of responses, and rightfully so. But if you're working for a president, no matter who it is, if I don't like the president, I don't agree with the president, it's my job as an official to the republic, not just to the presidency, to resign. And if McMaster's is doing that and others are doing that, they might as well resign or be thrown out very quickly. What I think Trump needs is a sweeper. That's what I was brought in various administrations. A sweeper, somebody who comes in, throws out everybody who's not relevant, who badmouths anybody, and then gets out of it. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't remain there. And I believe John Kelly has that capacity, and I believe Mattis has that capacity. So it's up to the two of them to decide what to do in the White House. But if McMaster has shot off his mouth and he's inappropriate, the best thing he can do as a military officer is to resign. If not, I would, you know, take away his rank and other things. But that's what I would do.
All right. Well, Dr. Pretenic, you always have great intel. Thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving. Any final words before we let you enjoy the holiday?
Well, I think everybody should be a little bit comfortable. The Republic is doing very well, and you're doing exceedingly well. I'm very proud of you in the war room, and I want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving. It's not in turmoil. We're not in a civil war. This is just part of being in a democracy, and you're beginning to see the give and take that Thomas Jefferson was talking about. So God bless.
And so you would say that right now it's okay to recognize we are having victories, yes, and we can celebrate.
Correct. And we should celebrate because that's the beauty of a democracy and a republic. And thank you, Owen, for the chance.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, Steve. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream right now at InfoWars.com/show.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's nice. It's a good day to be in the Republic of the United States of America. I hope everyone listening right now is having safe travels and having a joyous holiday time. We will be joined by Roger Stone in the next segment. And if it wasn't for you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com, none of this would be possible. None of it. And it's truly incredible, everything we've done here. And so many times, it's honestly crazy to think. It's like, I don't even think sometimes we get so caught up in the lull of just aggressive grind, you know, grindstone, just grinding it out all day, all night with the news and videos and editing and everything and just keeping up with everything that I don't even think we actually sit back and realize what we're doing here and how important we are, where we are in a changing tide where you're going to see a lot of these news outlets die probably in the next decade. CNN, MSNBC, I mean, look at CBS. If not die, have a complete makeover, a total facial operation procedure. And what's going to happen is we're going to replace them. But that's only if that's what you want. And if that's what you want, you go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. And that is what you want. And that's why you've been going to the store. And that's why we introduce new products and bring you great specials. So right now, you got the Black Friday, Cyber Monday specials. And we've got new specials going every day. Monday, it was BrainForce 50% off. That rolls through the rest of the week. It was 25% off Pro Pure Water Filters yesterday. 25% off. Oh, no, that was Monday, too. We doubled that on Monday. Then Tuesday was Silver Bullet, 67% off. Knockout, 50% off. And, of course, the BrainForce and Pro Pure discounts as well. So just, I mean, I can't even keep up with all these discounts now. It's just crazy. And considering the holidays of Christmas are around the corner as well, you may want to do some Christmas shopping. So we've got new sections in the store, gifts under $20, gifts under $50, gifts for him, gifts for her. So you can find all sorts of gifts ideas at InfoWarsStore.com as well. But seriously, check out these specials. 50% off Super Male Vitality, 50% off. Is that Living Defense? That's another great product. We got 50% off. The discounts right now, I mean, it's like I got a Rolodex of discounts here. This is ridiculous. So take advantage, please. Fund us. Make us bigger than anyone else in the world. That's what we want. And we are truly dedicated to bringing you the truth in all of the news, all of the information, everything. Keeping you informed, no agenda except freedom, truth, and justice. And you make it all possible at InfoWarsStore.com. And as they try to censor us and shut us down, it's more important for us to remain independent now than ever. And you make it possible. Roger Stone is about to join us. He wants to take your phone calls, whether you want to talk to him about his ongoing litigation, his lawsuit against Twitter, anything and everything in between. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Roger Stone, your phone calls on the other side. I've still got stacks of news, but we'll probably just take your phone calls through the rest of the day. But I hope that you've decided to share our links with your family, with your friends over this holiday weekend. Today is a day where 51 plus million people are driving in their cars. The perfect time to tell them to tune in to InfoWars, the perfect time to have them tune in to engaging, informative, philosophical, intellectual talk radio. Red pill your friends and family this Thanksgiving. They got a lot of food. Just slip a little red pill in there with it, and they won't even notice, and they'll come out on the other side. Roger Stone is with us. Don't go anywhere.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, now joining my colleague, Owen Scheuer, here at the War Room. First of all, a moment of silence for David Cassidy, late of the Partridge family, passing away here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at age 67. Oh, and all eyes are now on Alabama as the stakes grow higher and higher for that special election to fill the seat of Senator Jeff Sessions, who, of course, resigned in order to become Attorney General. The stakes are extraordinarily high, and although Ted Cruz and Senator Mike Lee, the Republican National Senatorial Committee, have headed for the tall grass, President Donald Trump today endorsed the embattled Republican Roy Moore, who appears to be locked in a skin-tight race with former prosecutor Doug Jones, the Democrat. The president justified his endorsement of Moore based on the fact that he doubts Moore's accusers and on the fact that Moore has run statewide in 8 individual races and never have these charges been raised against him. My own prediction is that Moore will squeeze out this race, but for pressure on the president from Steve Bannon and others, he too would be sitting out this race, which I think would have been a mistake. Again, all eyes on Alabama. Meanwhile, also in the news today, former cabinet member Kathleen Sebelius comes forward and says that the Clintons received, or I should say, meted out extraordinarily negative treatment to those women who came forward during the Clinton presidency with tales of being sexually harassed or attacked by Bill Clinton. As we know, it's a brand new day. And just this week, we saw extraordinary news stories, first by Aaron Klein of Breitbart News, and then by Ed Klein, the extraordinary reporter and author, detailing 5 more women who have come forward to say that they were sexually harassed by Bill Clinton. You see, the important thing to recognize is it's not just Bill Clinton's boorish and violent behavior towards women, not infidelities or indiscretions, as the mainstream media tried to call them during the presidential campaign, but something far more disgusting: violence against women, sexual assault, rape, and in the case of Bill Clinton, his signature move, biting through the upper lip of his sexual assault victims, as he did in the case of Juanita Broderick, and at least 2 other women identified by, at the time, NBC and the Washington Post. Will the Clintons get their just desserts? Well, that remains to be seen. With the New Yorker and a number of other major media outlets turning on the Clintons, one way you can crusade for justice to the Clintons is by going to the Infowars.com store and picking up your iconic Clinton rape t-shirt. Now, this t-shirt has a history because while I designed it, Alex Jones is the one who made it a national phenomena when, during the presidential campaign, he offered $1,000 to anyone who could get on television wearing this shirt and $5,000 to anyone who got on television, regionally or nationally, with the shirt, wearing the shirt, and saying, "Bill Clinton is a rapist." Folks, Alex Jones paid out more than $250,000 to patriots who were committed to breaking through the mainstream media blackout of Bill Clinton's real history as a sexual predator. This is how we were able to destroy the mainstream media myth that Bill Clinton was only guilty of indiscretions or infidelities. So, folks, you can support our broadcast here and our expansion at Infowars.com. You can also support the expansion to 10 hours of broadcasting by going to the Infowars store now, ordering more than one of 60 great First Amendment-oriented t-shirts, or taking advantage of our terrific specials now posted on the screen. 50% off Super Male Vitality, 50% off of Living Defense, and my all-time favorite, 50% off of Brain Force Plus, which is candidly a supplement without which this very broadcast would not be possible. There it is, Brain Force Plus, an extraordinary savings now, $19.95. This is among the very best products. I would not be without it. And I urge you now to go to the site and help us out, help yourself, and help the cause of media and press freedom. Indeed, our very First Amendment. Owen, who have we got on the call board? If we have time for a few calls, now would be a time.
We certainly do. Let's go out to... Well, let's start with Dan in Nova Scotia, guys. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the air with Roger Stone.
Hey, Owen. How are you?
Good.
Good. I got a question for Roger, but I just got a little remark about the, you know, the video you guys made where you're, you know, what'd you say? What do I do if one of them Antifa dudes comes up to me and you're like, that's
easy. The anti-communist, yeah. Anti-fascist InfoWars T-shirt.
Yeah, like, I just want to tell you that cracked me up when you go, you're like, put a pacifier in his mouth. I couldn't believe it. Yes, Roger, I'm sorry to disrespect.
Not at all.
I think that you're awesome. Man, like 15 years ago, I started watching Alex Jones, and I just have a question for you. I mean, you could probably take hours to tell a person, but just maybe a summary. What was it like to work with Richard Nixon, Richard Nixon?
Well, it was a great privilege to work for President Nixon. He was a truly great man. He did many great things, ending the war in Vietnam, reaching a strategic arms limitation agreement with the Soviets, opening the door to China, desegregating the public schools without violence or bloodshed, launching the war on cancer, unilaterally saving Israel from destruction in the 1973 Yom Kippur War over the objections of Henry Kissinger and his own national security staff. He was an immensely private man, an introvert in an extrovert's business. He was very thoughtful. He, for example, would call me on my birthday every year from the time that I visited him in San Clemente in 1977 to the time of his death. He knew the names of my children, my wife's name, even knew how many dogs I had. He had an extraordinary memory for names and faces. I remember traveling through National Airport, now Reagan National Airport, in Washington, D.C. We were late to catch a flight, but a man stopped him and asked for an autograph and called him Dick. He shook hands. He was very warm. And as we walked away, I said, who was that guy? And he said, oh, that's Ralph something or other. He's from Iowa. I think he was a county chairman. I said, when's the last time you saw him? He said, I think it was 1956 when I was running for re-election as vice president. That's how encyclopedic his knowledge was. So on another occasion, I recall going through a Washington hotel lobby when a large woman came up and asked him for an autograph, and he was in a hurry, but he stopped and he graciously asked her where she was from and a little bit about her, signed her autograph, and she went away happy as a clam. And he said, you know, never turn down a request for an autograph. If you do, they think you're a real a-hole. That was Richard Nixon, a great man. He did many great things. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention his failures, the war on drugs, probably his greatest failure, closing the gold window, taking us off the gold standard, yet another. Richard Nixon, a great man. Welcome back. You're at the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. One of my favorite reporters, Myra Adams, writing for BizPac Review, points out that President Donald Trump, in his official Thanksgiving message, thanked God 5 individual times. Contrast that with the official message by President Barack Obama in 2016, which did not mention God even once. That's a sea change, Owen, and one that I'm most proud of. And now, let's go back to the calls for either Owen or myself. We'll be happy to take your call on any subject here at the War Room. Owen, pick away.
Let's go to Danny calling in from Indiana. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, what's up, man?
Doing good.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Happy Thanksgiving, Danny. What's on your mind?
Yeah, right back at you, brother. Dude, let me just say right off the bat, I'm a fan. Super fan. But, okay, let's talk about, all right, Mike Pence making girls who get an abortion in Indiana have to pay for a funeral. That's messed up. That's just messed up.
Well, I think that is a far-fetched policy that Pence kind of put out there as a troll statement. But
no,
that's one
thing,
issue
though.
That Pence is extreme on, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
All right.
I agree with the policy proposal. I'm saying if you look at Pence and you choose that issue as an issue that you have a problem with him on,
I agree. And also, though, people who are scared of Trump, I'm more scared of Pence. But anyway, I know it's a little dated.
I don't know what you're scared
of. Like Snoop Dogg and Eminem doing their whole thing against the president. I think that's hilarious because they enjoy the pimp game. You know, you don't see them coming out against Harvey Weinstein or any of that garbage. Hmm. But they're super cool with screw the president. You know, but the pimp game's still cool, you know, because they live in that Hollywood world to where that's still cool. Like, the pimp game is awesome, but no, yeah, if you're, you know, Trump.
Well, these are desperate, quote-unquote, artists that have trouble selling albums, so they need to do something to drum up some attention. I mean, Roger, have you ever seen anything like this, Roger, where you'll have an entire industry with different artists attacking the president just nonstop in order to sell albums?
Well, first of all, thank you for your call. I must say one thing, it kind of tickles me. Several months ago, when it was revealed that the vice president had a policy of never dining alone with a woman other than his wife and never being alone with a woman other than his wife, he was widely mocked. How dumb does that look now? I'd say that looks pretty smart. When Texas Representative Joe Barton is caught sending text photos of his naked penis, believe me, folks, this is a photo you don't want to see. Even those who produced it have blocked out parts of it. Not exactly a turn-on for anybody, woman or man. You have to wonder where we are headed. And who will be next in the barrel? Mm-hmm. I have predicted that State Senator Tony Montoya of California will be in the forefront of a massive California Democratic sex scandal shortly. And where will this end? And who else will it take down? Charlie Rose, for example, Glenn Thrush of the New York Times. Where will this go? I'd say Mike Pence looks pretty smart right now. Oh, and let's go back to the call board. Who's next?
Larry calling in from Mississippi. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Mr. Stone, and y'all still there?
Go ahead.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Look, I don't know. I saw the other day where the Marines have come in on President Trump's side to stop any kind of coup or whatever that
the people at the Pentagon or what? Is that true? I mean, did that actually happen?
Roger, have you heard any stories about a military stepping in to stop some sort of coup against President Trump?
I have not, but as you know, Owen, we have actively predicted a coup d'etat here at InfoWars, but not of the military variety. I believe the coup d'etat that the president faces is a phony charge, trumped up charges, if you will, brought by Robert Mueller in a pretext for a quick railroaded impeachment of the president. Probably not possible. Probably not possible under the currently constituted House of Representatives, but very, very possible if the Democrats should capture the House in 2018. Failing that, I believe we could have a coup under the pretext of the 25th Amendment. That's an amendment to the Constitution that says if a majority of the cabinet and the vice president believe that the president is no longer mentally capable of discharging his duties, he shall be removed. The president can then appeal that decision again to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, there are some in Washington who believe that if Vice President Pence made a deal with House Speaker Ryan for the vice presidency, that the president would not be sustained in the House. Is this all far-fetched? Is it a conspiracy theory? Is it outside the realm of possibility? Don't bet on it. You heard about it here first on InfoWars.com. Let's see how this develops. Larry, thank you very much for your call. Owen?
All right, John, squeeze it in. You got 60 seconds. John in Houston.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to see what you guys wanted to say about perhaps the next thing going on in the Middle East. We heard about Trump giving some support to this purge, and there was a lot of good aspects to the purge in Saudi Arabia. A lot of the old corrupt people, some of the worst ones going down, and people were very happy about that. But then at the same time, some unexpected aspects to the purge. They're trying to spread some instability, appears, into Lebanon, which was pretty stable. So I don't think that Rex Tillerson came out against that, saying that he does not want Saudi Arabia to do that. And so what do you guys think about the future? I heard that, I don't know if this is true, that Saudi Arabia offered billions of dollars to Israel to engage against Lebanon, and that there's some kind of war coming in the future. Do you guys think there's a war coming?
Roger?
I generally think the purge is positive. The old line Bush connections have been purged. You have a harder line against Iran under the new leadership, which matches our own position. As for a future war, I can confirm what you say about the outreach to the Israelis. More than that, I do not know.
We'll be right back with more of the War Room.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream
right now
at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the right place. Yes, it's the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. And we're taking your calls today because we think the dialogue with the InfoWarriors is a very important aspect of what we do here at InfoWars. First of all, let me mention again, this extraordinary programming wouldn't be possible. This 10 hours every day of nonstop broadcasting, this important expansion is available only because of your loyal support for InfoWars via the InfoWars store. We have some extraordinary specials right now that where you can not only pick up products that are extraordinarily well tested and carefully verified, in many cases with thousands of satisfied testimonials, but you can also help finance the extraordinary expansion here because we are the tip of the spear. We are the leading broadcast facility for those on the so-called alt-right. This is the only place that is multidimensional. You can watch us on video. You can hear us on radio. You can read on our website. So while there are many great conservative sites, the Daily Caller, Breitbart News, and so on, we are the tip of the spear, and we need your support to continue this extraordinary expansion that Alex Jones has mapped out. As Owen said earlier on the program, we would not be here today without your loyal support. So please visit the Infowars.com store and look at the extraordinary specials available there today. Owen, let's go back to the call board. I want to get in as many calls as we possibly can. And I know we get kind of stacked up, but we appreciate your calls and we're happy to respond. You have questions for either Owen or myself. We're happy to engage.
All right, let's go to Eric in Florida. Eric, you're on the air with Roger Stone.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Owen, Roger. You guys put on a great show. Very entertaining and very resourceful. I pick up a lot of information and put in my memory bank. Anyways, this one's probably more geared towards Roger there. I'll just throw it out and you guys can take it from there. Back, it was probably the first campaign, or not campaign, first presidency of Clinton. I was a young man. I believe I was out of my teens, but under 21. And ignorance of law here in the United States is no excuse. So what did Bill Clinton do? And does Michael Fay in Singapore, spitting on the sidewalks in Singapore, vandalizing the property, all that kind of stuff. I was very angered by it personally. But I believe there's a lot of people out there who feel like me. You know, the hell with those un-American football players. That's what I call them. That's not American. But anyways, Bill Clinton, I believe, made a personal trip all the way out there and reduced the sentence of flogging there in Singapore, which is what, part of China, but kind of like on the skirts. I mean, I took it really, really personal. Do you remember that, Roger? F-A-Y, and I believe it had an E, silent E at the end. And maybe your crew there can look it up. Bill Clinton, Michael Fay. If so, I mean, yeah. Look, Donald Trump did this while he happened to be in the area. You know? But I believe this was a trip that he did personally. I don't know if he's trying to do it to embolden himself, if that's the right terminology. And I'll leave it at that. I'll just listen for your answer.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. I don't remember the incident specifically with Mr. Fay. If you want to read the definitive oppo dump on the Clintons, you can go to the Infowars.com store now and get the Clinton's War on Women. I produced this book for the 2016 campaign, and it's all there. Whether it is the Clintons going into the Arkansas prison system, extracting blood from the prisoners and selling it abroad without screening it for hepatitis or HIV, or whether it is the extraordinary multiple assaults on women by Bill Clinton and the incredible cover-up that was directed by Hillary Clinton because she was the one who hired the heavy-handed private detectives and the nasty lawyers to threaten and bully and intimidate Bill Clinton's victims into silence. This book has a terrific foreword by Kathleen Willey, the brave woman who was assaulted by Bill Clinton in the Oval Office the very same day her husband committed suicide, and then harassed by a private detective named Jack Palladino. Palladino's name was in the news only last week. Why? Because Harvey Weinstein hired Palladino to harass and threaten and bully his victims into silence. So we find that Clinton is more like Weinstein or vice versa than we thought. Again, if you want to not only support the InfoWars, but learn the shocking details of Bill and Hillary Clinton, including
the fact that Bill Clinton is not Chelsea's father. Chelsea's real father is Webster Hubble. Or the incredible story of Danny Williams, the abandoned African-American son of Bill Clinton, banished by Hillary. You can go to the Infowars.com store now and get The Clintons' War on Women. Thank you so much for your call. Owen, who's next?
We've got Amari in Texas. Go ahead, Amari.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hello. Oh, yeah, so, sorry. First of all, I just want to say thank you all so much, and I've been a listener since September, and I just love what all y'all do. The question I have is that last night I've been reading that the Iranian government has declared that ISIS has officially been defeated, and I just want to know either one of y'all response to that. Since the ISIS is a threat of Hillary Clinton and the globalist state, as long and the Iranian is also a corrupted globalist state, do you believe in what they say in like that ISIS is a defeated or some sense?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. If ISIS has been defeated, they certainly haven't stopped their Twitter feed. It's interesting to me that ISIS is still active on Twitter while I am banned for life. It is probably not realistic for the Iranian state to just declare that they are defeated. ISIS is, of course, the manifestation of the Bush-era policies, which gave rise to ISIS. And then, of course, they were armed by Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State during the Obama administration. Again, I'd like to see them banned on Twitter. Owen, what are your thoughts?
Well, it is amazing. I think that finally we have a president and administration that has a goal as to ending ISIS and not a president that's kind of under the table actually trying to build them up. I think that that's why we're actually seeing ISIS being crippled right now as far as what they're doing in the Middle East. But, you know, Roger, it's interesting, again, as you're noting, how you've been banned from Twitter, and anyone that even wants to report with you, associate with you, they get banned from Twitter. There was some journalist, some no-name journalist who somehow gets verified on Twitter, Roger. She tweets out, "I hate white people." Her name is Kate Morgan. She tweets out, "I hate white people." Just flat out, "I hate white people." She's got over 40,000 followers. And she is okay. She's okay to continue tweeting on. But Roger Stone, that is just reporting truth. You're banned, Roger. They got to shut you down.
No, only this morning, Owen, someone tweeted, "Roger Stone needs a bullet in his head by Christmas." Welcome back. You're at the War Room with your hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. And we're trying to jam in as many of your phone calls as we possibly can before we're all released for a joyous Thanksgiving holiday. Owen, let's go to the call board and see who we have.
It looks like Dave in Wisconsin is up next. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, hi. I can't believe I finally got on. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling, Dave. Okay? Yes, go ahead. Sorry?
Okay, I wanted to bring up two things. One thing, I recently saw, the video by Paul Watson about the soy boys, and then I did some research. I found an article in Men's Health talking about it, and it's kind of scary what it does. I mean, it's in everything. It's almost impossible to avoid, and I would just say, make a little plug for your show. Definitely take something like male vitality. Keep your energy up, and don't allow yourself to be feminized by this, what is essentially poison for men.
Yeah, Anthroplex too. You know, it's amazing, absolutely, Roger, to think about this, because you've got a situation where you could have children, while they're in utero, their moms are eating nothing but soy and not having the right diet, and then you have the child is born, and then they're, instead of getting breast milk that has the essential fatty acids that you need to develop, your brain to develop, and everything to develop, they're getting the supplemental, fake soy milk instead. And then they have their parents saying, oh, well, we have to be soy. So they feed them soy their whole lives. It's no wonder that we're seeing these emasculated, impotent, low T, low testosterone men. And it's amazing the video Paul Joseph Watson did. I mean, I don't know, Roger, have you ever seen a generation of such wusses and wimps?
Well, Owen, I've looked into this. Evidently, the ingestion of large amounts of soy does increase estrogen levels in males. My own grandson told me that he had had an early case of gynecomastia, which abated after he dropped the soy. I think it's a very real thing. Great work by Paul Joseph Watson. It could also explain why we seem to have an entire generation of wimps out there. So as bad as they tell you whole milk is, I think I will return to it. Thank you very much for your call. Let's take another
one. Actually, you know what? I think Dave had another question for you, Roger. Let's give Dave one more swing here. Go ahead, Dave.
I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, it's just really quick. It's about Allen Ginsberg. I call him Allen Nambla Ginsberg, and he's like the original Marxist. He's like the original guy that got college kids into Marxism from Greenwich Village, beatnik poet from the 50s. I've never really heard it mentioned on the show. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, I remember reading his epic poem, which was called Howl, in the 60s.
Pretty crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a major, of course, anti-Vietnam War figure, kind of the first hippie, if you will, and even in those days, openly homosexual. I don't think he we hear much about him today because he has fallen into the dustbin of history. We're in a new anti-globalist, pro-American phase, and our country, I think, is going to be saved by our current president. Those who were planning on a race between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, in which the fix was in other words, heads I win, tails you lose, those days are behind us. We have a president who on Thanksgiving thanks God five times, unlike his predecessor, who lauds the military, our law enforcement, our first responders. How incredibly refreshing, how incredibly American. Owen, what's your take?
Well, I'll just add, Barack Obama was such a disgraceful hack of a president. You need look no further than the reaction that President Trump got when he landed in China in comparison to the arrival party or lack thereof the last time Barack Obama traveled to China, where he had to get off the butt of the plane and there was no introductory ceremony from the Chinese. There was no red carpet. There was nothing for Barack Obama from the Chinese for his arrival, the bum. But President Trump gets a huge ceremony, red carpet, and is actually getting things done in foreign relations. Thank you so much for the call, Dave. We've got Fernando calling in from Connecticut. You're on air with Roger Stone. Go ahead, Fernando.
Hi, gentlemen. Great fan of the show. There was an incident way back when the Pentagon got caught with the pornography. It was like 5,000 of them. And whatever happened to that incident?
When?
Oh, this was a long time ago. It was on the news, the Pentagon, people in the Pentagon, like 5,000 of them.
I'm not familiar with this story. I'm not doubting you. Our crew's looking it up. What do you know about this?
This is news to me. A long time ago, the Pentagon.
Hey, print that story for me, guys. Sorry, Roger. Print that story for me, guys. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar with this particular incident. It was some time ago that the Pentagon outlawed the sale of pornographic magazines at the PXs across the country. Beyond that, I'm not familiar with with the specifics of the case that the caller mentions. I do want to ask, where exactly in Connecticut are you, sir?
You know what? We've lost Fernando. Sorry about that, Roger.
All right. That's all right. Let's go to our next call. We've got a few more minutes here before the Thanksgiving break. One more.
We've got Dom in California. Go ahead, Dom.
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dom.
Absolutely. This is a question for Roger Stone, actually. First, I want to say I'm a huge fan of both the War Room and yourself. I purchased and read the Clinton's War on Women, the Bush crime family, and I also purchased The Making of an American President for my father this past Christmas. Anyway, my question is this. I've been looking all over, and I can't seem to find any information on your current lawsuit against Twitter or if that's still going. And I have a second question if you have time, but if you could answer that one first.
Sure. We are preparing a lawsuit, which because of the terms of the service contract with Twitter will have to be filed in the Northern District of California. At this point, the lawsuit is both more complex and broader than perhaps we had initially anticipated. I expect to challenge Twitter on First Amendment grounds, on antitrust grounds, and also because they're in violation of their service contract. We will be shortly announcing who the lawyers are that will carry this case. But if you want to support this litigation, which will be extraordinarily expensive, you can go to stonedefensefund.com. That's stonedefensefund.com. We're going to be instituting a specific and separate legal fund, but in the meantime, we don't have the deep pockets that Twitter has. They're going to bury us in paper with their own white shoe lawyers. But this is an important case. I spoke to my friend Milo Yiannakopoulos the other day. He will be joining the lawsuit amicus, or as a co-plaintiff, among other major conservatives who have been silenced on Twitter. I expect this to be a hard-fought and highly covered landmark case over the First Amendment and an obvious effort by Twitter to silence conservative voices. Now, under Twitter's rules, when you set up a Twitter feed that is meant to circumvent a ban, they will take those down too. But they have also suspended Stone Cold Truth and Stone's own tweets, both of whom have been in existence since 2015, clearly not set up to circumvent their ban. There is a lonely patriot out there who has posted a new feed called Not Roger Stone. That's Not Roger Stone on Twitter. I urge you right now to follow Not Roger Stone because this fellow or woman, whoever it is, does a pretty good job of covering my exploits and what I'm doing here at InfoWars, as well as on the Stone Cold Truth and at the Stone Zone. So follow Not Roger Stone for the time being. I want to reiterate once again, Not Roger Stone is indeed Not Roger Stone. But you can get the truth about what I'm up to by following this Twitter feed. Do it now. We're going to be keeping track. Many thanks. And Owen, as the clock runs down, I want to wish you and everyone on the InfoWars crew a happy, joyous, and most heartfelt Thanksgiving. Thank God for President Donald J. Trump and the United States.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Welcome back to the War Room. Roger has actually left us for Thanksgiving. He is now on Thanksgiving break. But we've got plenty of news to cover, and we'll take some of your phone calls as well. Not to mention the latest report from Paul Joseph Watson. You're not going to want to miss this, folks. No allegation, but cold hard evidence of Joe Biden inappropriately behaving around children. Paul Joseph Watson will break that down later on in this hour. At this time, though, in case you haven't heard yet, there is a video that has gone viral on the internet of a North Korean man attempting to defect North Korea as soldiers pursue and open fire. And, you know, we've got players protesting the NFL right now. They think it's so bad in America. Yet, if you try to defect from North Korea, what happens? They shoot you down. If you run out of the United States into Mexico, I don't think anyone from America is going to shoot you down. Now, maybe someone in Mexico might have something to say about you illegally crossing the border. In fact, of course they will. But the NFL still thinks that America's so bad they need to protest the national anthem, and the NFL still doesn't know what to do. Well, what's going to happen, folks? I'm predicting it now. Nothing is going to change, perhaps the rest of this season, but Roger Goodell's time as the NFL commissioner is short, and that's when you're going to start to see real policies, not from a soy boy like Roger Goodell leading the NFL. They'll probably get someone in there who's less soy, more man, that should be leading the NFL. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Why do they try to bring this all this PC to the NFL? Is it because it's such a violent sport? But so the video comes out. This guy's running, trying to get out of North Korea, the communist hellhole, the Kim regime, and the North Korean soldiers attempt to shoot him. So that's incredible footage that you can find at Infowars.com right now. And again, this is what happens in communism. More stories out of communist Venezuela. And this is the Communist News Network that has to report on this. They're showing the video now. The man is speeding down the road in his Jeep, trying to get to the DMZ where he got shot. First shots fired in the DMZ in decades. I forget the last time it was. But that's what happens in the loving communist regime. And in Venezuela, 4,000 inflation rates have now hit Venezuela. Communist News Network, CNN, is even calling it a death spiral. That's what happens in communism. You see why America exists now. You see why it's so important to protect this country and everything it stands for. You see why the West was created. You see why independence is so necessary to stop an authoritarian regime, to stop communism from coming here and destroying markets, destroying economies, destroying cultures, destroying civilizations, destroying everything. And that's why we don't like communism here, folks. There you can see it. Venezuela's cash loses more value. Wow. Wow. That is just in less than a month. Wow. I'm starting to think, I mean, it is really bad in Venezuela, folks. It is really, really bad. I wonder if Trump will try to do something. Oh, hey, by the way, before we go to break, we did find the story from 2010. Pentagon workers found to have downloaded child pornography. Of course, these are high-level contractors and security clearances. Think about the blackmail. Think about the blackmail that could come from this. Did you even ever hear of this? Never even heard of this.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. Again, we had a caller asking us about the story of the Pentagon child pornography.
I mean,
this is from July 2010, and it talks about dozens of Pentagon staff and contractors with high-level security clearance have been found by U.S. federal investigators to have downloaded child pornography. So imagine the blackmail that could bring. And I'd never even heard of this. I would doubt that if this even got reported really anywhere on television news. This is just breaking. Sarah Silverman now claims that she has fallen in love with Trump supporters. Of course, she still hates Trump, but she's filming a television series called I Love You, America, and apparently talking to a bunch of Trump supporters in this, and surprise to her surprise, she fell in love with them. She had a great time with them. She felt comfortable. Yeah. Again, everything they tell you is a lie. Conservatives or right-wingers aren't the haters. They're not the vitriolic, hateful people out there. That's the lefties. That's the leftists. If I, as a Trump supporter, tried to go hang out with a bunch of anti-Trumpers and Trump haters, I wouldn't be comfortable. I wouldn't be allowed. I'd probably get kicked or beaten or stabbed or shot. Silverman hangs out with Trump supporters. She finds they're loving, welcoming, warm, kind-hearted. Yeah. But is this real? Or is Sarah Silverman just trolling us? Or even perhaps trying to implement a marketing strategy here where she realizes most people like Trump, so you better start reaching out to them or you're going to fail. And the crew just pulled that video up of Sarah Silverman kissing Al Franken. No, let's not subject our audience to that again. Thank you. That's nice. Thank you very much. You know, I'm gonna just read this tweet and break this down because this is the problem that we're seeing in society. And then I'm going to take a phone call. I don't know who this is. Someone tweets this on Twitter and it's probably up over, 70,000 likes now and close to 40,000 retweets. But here's the problem. The reason I break this down is because you need to psychologically analyze what is happening here so that you can accurately describe the difference in the current movements of the left and the right. So this tweet goes viral amongst all the leftists, and they praise it as total fact. So I'm going to break this down. The tweet goes as is. White man is a pedophile. Defend him. Okay, that is a reference to Roy Moore. Black man doesn't say thank you to Trump. Condemn him. Okay, so that is one belief system exposed here of leftists. Here's the problem. It's not true. Saying Roy Moore is a pedophile is not true. The only illicit activity that you could say Roy Moore engaged in was not illegal. Or at least the alleged activity. But again, this is what the left does. They believe things that are not real. And then they create entire movements, entire philosophical movements around fake news. For example, hands up, don't shoot. And then they literally go full tilt, all in on the lies and misinformation. And that's why when their reality comes crashing in, all they can do is helplessly scream at the sky. All they can do is dress up as a chicken and run from police. It goes on. White people have a disaster in Texas. Help them. White people have a disaster in Texas. Hey, jackass, Houston is the most diverse city in America. So again, they have a thought process. It's 100% wrong. And then they fully invest in it. They're so fully invested in their hatred of America and their hatred of white people. They literally create realities and then fully invest in them. And then when their reality comes up nothing and they lose, they freak out. They don't know what to do. White people have a disaster in Texas. Help them. That's Hurricane Harvey. Houston is the most diverse city in America. And if you looked at any of the footage and photos coming out of Houston, it was all colors, races, backgrounds, religions, everything helping each other. But then it goes further. Puerto Ricans without electricity, ignore them. Ignore them. Another total lie. Literally, the leftist ideology doesn't even have a hint of truth in it. These people are so lost, it is sad. Tom Hanks in Castaway had better odds of being rescued and being brought back to society than these leftists do of being brought back to reality. But this is their lies that they fully invest in, as if President Trump has ignored Puerto Rico. Again, and then all the minions tweet that out, like Seth Rogen tweets it out, and then it becomes fact. No. Oh, and then what comes out about Seth Rogen? Teen girls are accusing him of sexual assault. So it doesn't matter that Trump is doing everything he can to help Puerto Rico. They just say he's ignoring them. Then it goes further. White rich men want a tax cut. Oblige. Again, wrong. 100% wrong. The richest tax brackets are not getting a tax break. They're getting hit harder. Again, the left doesn't even reside in reality. All of their hatred, the biggest hate group in America is the political left right now, and all of their hatred is based on fake news and lies, and they fully invest in it. Black Haitians need help? Evict. I don't even know what he's talking about there. But there you go. And then it's Trump is not racist. The only fact in the entire tweet is Trump's not racist, and it's meant to be satirical. Think about that. The only fact in this viral tweet of the left is a fact that is meant to be satirical. It is truly sad, the mindset of these people. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Sophie in Maryland. Go ahead, Sophie. You're on the air.
Hey, Owen. Thank you. I'm a DACA recipient. I've been on your show before, so thank you for taking my call. And I was just calling to completely agree with you that Trump supporters really are loving and welcoming. I really don't think that Sarah Silverman was being a troll. I really believe that I get the side eye for being a DACA recipient and also a conservative. And people just want to believe the worst when it comes to President Trump, but I really don't believe that he's a racist or a terrible human being at all.
Do you feel, as a DACA recipient, do you feel that fellow DACA recipients that are in fear right now of their current status, do you feel that fear is because of Trump or because of media reporting?
No, it's absolutely because of the media. And there are a lot of DACA recipients like myself that do their own research, look at alternative media, and see the things that he said in interviews. And, for example, Jeff Sessions, during his hearing, he said, like, hey, I don't agree with this, but I'm okay with taking some type of legislative measure. And say, like, hey, guys, calm down. Like, he wants a fix. It's okay. And we get the side eye, like, oh, yeah, like, no, look at you guys. Like, you're turning your back on your immigrant roots. But no, like, it's absolutely the media. It's horrible because it's definitely up to us to look at the information. If I was just looking at CNN or even Fox News all day, I would be scared out of my mind right now thinking I was going to get deported. But because I've been doing my own research, like, I know that Trump wants a legislative...
Well, Sophie, you're a powerful caller. Yeah. You're a powerful caller. I have to let you go here. I'm about to go to break. But please call in again next week. I want to have an actual discussion with you about this. Next week, I hope that Sophie is able to call in a DACA recipient. Let's get down to the brass tacks here. Of stories here that have been breaking with more of this sexual assault stuff hitting the media. Then we're going to look at some tweets that are coming from leftists, and then I'm going to break down how it's all really being meant, well, what the end game really is here and what's going through these people's minds. London police investigating second Kevin Spacey claim. Of course, this is after the Old Vic Theater's investigation, which had 20 complaints of inappropriate behavior from Spacey. Now, Scotland Yard is launching an investigation into the loving liberal who is friends with Charlie Rose and Bill Clinton and Al Franken, Kevin Spacey. Another woman accused Representative John Conyers of sexual harassment in court filings this year. Well, he's denied it, but more allegations are coming forward. Still silence from all the same people that said Roy Moore should step down from the race. Total silence on John Conyers resigning. Three CBS employees accused Charlie Rose of sexual harassment. Oh, former Charlie Rose intern says he made her watch a sex scene in a movie. Oh, and it all comes out. They all knew it. Oh, that's just Charlie being Charlie. That's just Charlie being Charlie. The good liberal. Political media engulfed by sexual harassment crisis. And as Steve Pachinik was explaining earlier, this is a symptom of the dying establishment media. All of these frauds, all of these phonies, the Brian Williams, the Charlie Roses, all of them, folks, this is their collapse. Another one, Glenn Thrush accusations. New York Times is torn about what to do about Glenn Thrush. Again, nobody calling for him to resign, though. Nobody calling for his firing. You know, and look, where's the jury? Where's the judge? Where is an actual court here to decide whether Glenn Thrush is guilty? I don't want people to just start accusing people and then they're guilty. So if it's true, let's actually figure that out or not. And then there's this one. This is also on Infowars.com. We've got an exclusive. Joe Barton in hot water after sexting woman nude photos. Republican Joe Barton. You know, it's not... I mean, this is like beyond. This is just beyond the beyond. Why are you sending that to anyone? And then send some weird sext. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't understand that. And that goes on with other, you know, it's just weird. Sexting and naked Snapchatting. I mean, what is wrong with people? Weinstein effect impacting companies' holiday party plans. So this is what I'm telling you now. This is the environment. Men need to be afraid. You need to be scared. If you look at a woman wrong or say the wrong thing to a woman, now you're guilty of sexual harassment. So don't even go to the holiday party because you might be accused. No, the truth is average people don't live their life like that. Now, let's go to Twitter and look at some of the liberals right now that are truly showing how they are the biggest party of hate in the history of America. This is from Emily Linden, who is certified on Twitter. Here's an unpopular opinion. I'm actually not at all concerned about innocent men losing their jobs over false assault harassment allegations. Really? Okay, then, Emily Linden, I accuse you of sexually assaulting me. And I hope you get fired for that false accusation because you don't care, right? Wrong. You would if it happened to you. Oh, but look at this. To again show you how dark-hearted Emily Linden is. Prisoner who spent 46 years in jail for rape he didn't commit released as conviction overturned. Wilbert Jones spent 46 years of his 65-year life in jail for being wrongly accused of sexually assaulting someone. Sad. This is a black man, too, so you think the liberals would be all over this story. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. And Emily Linden says she doesn't care. This is Farhad Manju. Nobody knows who this guy is, but he's certified on Twitter. I am at the point where I seriously, sincerely wonder how all women don't regard all men as monsters to be constantly feared. Exactly. That's what they want. Fear the bad man. The real world turns out to be a legit horror movie that I inhabited and I knew nothing about. So this is a man who wants to tell you that men are the problem, toxic. And that's because he's not a real man, though. That's his problem. He's a wuss. He's a beta male. So he wants every other male to be feared, to be betaed and cucked like him. Here's a CNN reporter. Beyond the pain humiliation women have endured, it's worth taking stock of the incredible drain of talent. I don't know how much of it is that much talent from media entertainment taking place right now. Never has so much talent, again, left the industry all at once. Oh, you mean the industry is being exposed for the cesspool that it is that we've been telling you about? Here's Monica Hesse, another no-name certified liberal on Twitter, responding to Manju, who says all men should be feared. All men are bad. That includes you, you idiot. Surprise, the answer is that we do, and we must regard all men as potential monsters to be feared. So now I'm the bad guy. You need to look at me like an enemy, even though I'm totally innocent and really just a fuzzball. That's why we cross to the other side of the street at night to get away from men. So these are the real sexist people in our society. And why we sometimes obey when men say, smile, honey. We are always aware that the alternative could be death. Wow. Talk about totally unhinged nutbags that are showing how much they hate everyone. They hate men. They really just hate themselves. So here's what it is. Let me explain the cyclical events that we are seeing and witnessing right now. Liberals in the press are trying to have a see I told you so moment with all of these sexual harassment allegations coming down. Even though we've reported it, we've been telling you this is going on as part of that culture, they're now trying to twist it and they're having their see I told you so moment with, you see, I told you men were bad. I told you toxic masculinity. I told you the rape culture. You're bad. You're bad. This is a systematic thing. You're bad. It's systematic. Women don't have a chance. When really this is actually a political agenda, but then you go beyond that and you say, let's actually analyze this. Roy Moore, Donald Trump. Okay, well, the accusers kind of came forward, but nothing really manifested itself. They defended themselves. Nothing came of it. But then look at everyone on the left. Franken, excoriated. They knew it was happening. Photos, quotes. Charlie Rose, fired. Glenn Thrush, Mark Halperin, Weinstein, Spacey, Conyers. All of the leftists. They're all leftists. But no mention. Oh, but no. See, this is what they'll tell you. Roy Moore is the biggest story because he's running. He's right. We can't knowingly elect such a reprobate. Oh, but what if the story isn't true? How dare you not believe the victims? How dare you not believe these courageous women that are coming forward? Oh, you mean like Bill Clinton's victims? How Hillary didn't believe them? How dare you politicize this? How dare you make this about the Clintons? How dare you politicize sexual assault? When the entire thing is a political stunt from the very beginning. The entire charade. So yes, the sexual harassment and the bullying going on of leftists or by leftists and how these cultures and societies, these reprobates and degenerates just occupy it. No, they want to have an I see, I told you so. Men are bad. Men are the problem. Women should fear men. Men are the real terrorists. Just like the Austin Chronicle tells you, white man is the face of terror now. A week after a guy shouts Allahu Akbar and runs people over the car. So here's my I told you so moment. These people hate themselves and they hate you because they don't fit in. So they want to bring everyone else down and they want to say that men are the problem. No, real men are going to step up and save this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
In light of the sexual abuse scandal sweeping the entertainment industry, the media, and Washington, D.C., we need to talk about creepy Uncle Joe. Well, that's not my invention. That's what the Washington Post labeled him back in 2015. Although written in a weird tongue-in-cheek style, the article cites numerous instances where Joe Biden made women uncomfortable by touching and grabbing them. But here's something way creepier than that. The way Uncle Joe behaves around children. Now, let's be clear. Joe Biden has admitted no wrongdoing. No accusations of sexual harassment have been leveled against him, at least publicly. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But we need to talk about this because one Twitter thread alone, posted by activist and commentator Richard Mills, highlighting the subject, has been retweeted nearly 20,000 times. This is going viral. Biden is also signaling that he plans to run for president in 2020. Current polls show that Biden would beat Trump. This could become a major issue on the campaign trail. So let's take a look. This is probably the most famous example. Biden leans uncomfortably close to a 13-year-old girl, whispers something in her ear, then tries to kiss her as she instinctively jerks away.
Thank you.
Nice to see you guys.
Now, this one actually made the news at the time. They said the 13-year-old girl, Margaret Coons, didn't think what Biden said or did was creepy. Except She didn't say anything. It was her father, Senator Christopher Coons, who claims she said that. I reached out to Margaret Coons to clarify whether or not she thought it was creepy and to ask her what Biden said. I received no response. The official story is that Biden was reassuring the girl that his own daughter was 13 when he was sworn in, and not to be nervous about being in front of cameras. Except that in all the years Biden was sworn in as senator, his daughter was never at the age of 13. But I'm sure that that's all completely normal. In this clip, Biden appears to grope the chest area of a little girl. The close-up shows her visibly pull away right as it happens. But I'm sure that's completely normal. Biden seems to have a thing for touching, smelling, and stroking girls' hair, as seen in this clip. But I'm sure that's completely normal. In this clip, Biden strokes the girl's hair before whispering something in her ear. He then asks for a picture with the girl alone.
Can I go just alone?
Senator Jim Risch then says, Dad's going to stand pretty close.
Dad's going to stand pretty close.
Biden appears to tell the girl, quote, if I was young.
By the way, if I was young, and I had to choose parties.
But I'm sure that's all completely normal. In this clip, Biden kisses a young girl 3 times as she squirms uncomfortably while he says, don't tell anybody.
Title. This is a title. This is a long day.
Don't tell anybody.
But I'm sure that's completely normal. In this clip, Biden tells a girl, quote, no serious guys until you're 31. Which is one of his favorite things to say to children.
Lucky man.
Lucky man. He's having fun. Thank you, sir.
No serious guys.
He then poses with the girl for a photo while putting his hand around her midriff. And then whispers something into her ear. But I'm sure that's completely normal. In this clip, Biden asks another of his favorite questions, how old the child is.
Come on over here. Good to see you, Molly. How old are you,
man? 12.
Before weirdly stroking the face of her younger sister.
Grandpa's one of the guys.
That's nice.
No, I'm not saying.
The mother seems keen to leave quickly, but I'm sure that's all completely normal. In this clip, Biden again tells a young girl, no dating until you're 30, before putting his hand near her breast.
You remember what I told you last time I saw you? You remember what I told you?
Smile.
No, not smile. No date till you're 30.
All right.
But I'm sure that's completely normal. Here's an entire montage of Biden telling girls, quote, no dates until you're 30.
Mr. Just remember, no dates till you're 30. You're turning 11. You're beautiful. Just remember, no dates till you're 30. Just remember,
30 years old. No dates till 30.
Hey, Mia, how old are you? Remember, no dates to your 30 years old. What's this child's name?
This is my goddaughter.
Just remember, no dates to your 30. How old are you? Just remember, no dates to your 30.
You get over here that's by me, okay?
Oh, you girls are beautiful.
Thank you. 20.
Just remember, no guys to your 30. Come on, you get over here. Both of you. Slime. And girls, remember, no dates to your 30 years old.
But again, I'm sure that's completely normal. In this clip, a young girl catches Biden's attention. He then asks the 6-year-old girl if she's 17.
Beautiful child, how old are you, 17?
06.
He then begins stroking the girl's face before her mother draws attention to the cameras.
Hey, do you have any other camera? Think about all those cameras?
Biden then strokes the girl's hair again and tells her, you guessed it.
No dates or boys till you're 30 years old.
He then strokes her hair and kisses her again. He then grabs on her face and hair again. But I'm sure that's completely normal. In this clip where Biden is meeting three teenage girls, he trots out his favorite line.
Three teenage.
I want to know, you have a big cancer.
Oh, I got a concertina wire.
All right, good. You need it. Just remember, no serious guys in the
That's right.
So you got to remember
good advice.
One girl then calls out for her dad.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, let's get the senator in here.
And appears in a rush to leave the room. But I'm sure that was completely normal. This clip, Biden again asks a girl aged around 8 if she's 15.
Okay.
He then whispers something in their ears once again. The same thing happens again in this clip where he asks an 11-year-old girl if she's 17.
How are you, 17?
Before the obligatory hair sniffing and whispering. But I'm sure that's completely normal. The former vice president's behavior appears to extend to females of all ages. Here's Uncle Joe grabbing Ashton Carter's wife, Stephanie, before smelling her hair. She's obviously uncomfortable. But I'm sure that's completely normal. He was even caught on camera giving a weird, endless hug to Hillary Clinton. But seriously, imagine how the left would react if it was President Trump behaving like Joe Biden did. They'd be up in arms. They'd be calling for an investigation. Remember, they freaked out when Trump said he'd date his own daughter, which admittedly was a bit odd. So what about this? Last week, a Secret Service agent told Cassandra Fairbanks that Biden would, quote, mess with every single woman or teen, and that a Christmas get-together at the VP's house had to be cancelled, quote, because Biden would grope all of our wives and girlfriends' asses. He also said that the service often had to protect female agents from him, and that Biden was prone to parading around the VP residence late at night with no clothes on. I mean, stark, naked, Weinstein-level stuff, said the agent. During one alleged incident in 2009, Biden cupped the breast of a Secret Service agent's girlfriend during a photo, prompting the agent to shove Biden and almost hit him. The agent was subsequently suspended for a week, according to the source. Men would often stand in front of female agents and Navy women or create false pretenses to have them leave the room just to get them away from Biden, according to the agent. Best-selling author Ronald Kessler previously claimed in his book that Biden was fond of swimming naked and that female Secret Service agents found that offensive.
I wonder if LeVar Ball would be laughing off his son robbing a store in China if his son was actually sentenced to 10 years in prison, which he likely would have been if it wasn't for President Trump. So Trump says he's being disrespectful. Then the race baiter Tariq Nasheed goes on Twitter and says, notice the term ungrateful is the new dog whistle that white supremacists use towards black people. Yeah, you know, it must be really miserable to live your life wearing the glasses of identity politics. It really must be brutal to go through life like that. And it's sad that people have been so brainwashed into that. Now, some people think Tariq has other agendas. And then people respond by basically saying that all white people do not think black success is earned, but given by their benevolent white owners. How do people still think like this? How do people still think like this? I'm sorry. Where is the rush of white supremacists saying that you're welcome for LeBron James being so good at basketball? Where are all the white people stamping out and saying, boy, you can thank me for Tiger Woods being so good at golf? Where are all of the white people while Ben Carson was running for president saying, Ben Carson, he wouldn't have accomplished anything without me? A neurosurgeon? Oh, in fact, the only people that make fun of Ben Carson being a neurosurgeon are white women who are liberals. But this is, see, but that's what I'm saying. I have to break this down psychologically to give you a perspective into these people's minds. Now, let's go one step further to again break down psychologically what's going down in these people's minds as all these sexual harassment cases are coming out or allegations. Gayle King and Nora O'Donnell, who worked with Charlie Rose on CBS This Morning, responding to the allegations against Charlie Rose, which did they know? Did they not? I don't know. Is this genuine? Is it not? I don't know. But listen to some of the key words here that really, I think, again, whether these women are legit, didn't know, did not know, I'm withholding judgment. I don't know. Maybe they really didn't know about Charlie Rose. Maybe they really had no idea about this. Maybe they really are affected. And if that's the case, then, you know, that's tough for them. I'm sure it was a shock. But listen to some of the words that they use in this interview that really expose what it is they're thinking, and it just correlates of everything else I covered in this hour. So here's Gayle King and Nora O'Donnell reacting to Charlie Rose news.
Gayle, I know you and I have talked a lot about this, and it takes a lot of courage for these women to come forward, and I think that they should continue to do something.
That they will continue to speak up.
Yeah. I also want to say
this. It wasn't a big deal when it was Bill Clinton accusers, though. Then it was, brush them aside.
Where we stand, and more generally, the safety of women.
See, that's what I'm saying. Just pause it real quick. See, I'm trying not to be insensitive. And Gayle King and Nora O'Donnell really are nothing. They're a fly on the wall. They really just don't even matter in the big scheme of things. So I'm not trying to, it's just, why all of a sudden, see, I'm not going to sit here and fall for some phony. I'm sorry. Again, I don't know whether they're genuine, whether they knew about Charlie Rose. Like, I'm withholding judgment. But do not sit here as some moral superior to the rest of America by reporting in shock and awe about Charlie Rose's accusers when you know damn well about Bill Clinton and his indiscretions, and you ignored it. You knew damn well at CBS, and most likely you knew about Charlie Rose too. So I'm sorry. I'm not insensitive. It's just I'm not going to be virtue signaled and henpecked by people that so clearly have a double standard and have ignored this inappropriate behavior in their industry for decades. All right, go back to Gayle King and Nora O'Donnell.
There is no excuse for this alleged behavior. Systematic and pervasive. And I've been doing a lot of listening, and I'm going to continue to do that. This I know is true. Women cannot achieve equality in the workplace or in society until there is a reckoning and a taking of responsibility. I'm
really
proud to
work at CBS News. You know what? Let's just stop it right there. Let's just stop it right there. We'll just stop right there. What does she mean? A reckoning. Take responsibility. What is Nora O'Donnell saying? Again, this is Nora O'Donnell that Charlie Rose joked about spanking her butt on air. This is Nora O'Donnell that worked at CBS, and at least a handful of people knew Charlie Rose was doing this at CBS. And she's going to sit here and pretend to be the moral superior when they ignored all of these indiscretions in the past. Then she's going to say, women cannot achieve equality in this society until there is a reckoning. There needs to be some responsibility. What is she saying? The reckoning against men. That's what she is virtue signaling. The reckoning against men. That's a virtue signal to all of the beta males out there that cannot succeed in society. Yeah, there's Charlie Rose joking about spanking Nora O'Donnell's butt and doing it on air with Gayle King right there. So I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be insensitive to these women. It's just you are not morally superior to us. You probably knew about this stuff. And if you didn't, I'm sorry that you had to find out this way. But don't tell me there needs to be a reckoning on men. Don't tell me that all men need to be held responsible for this. That is utter nonsense. Should all women be held accountable because women choose to abort their children? No. But this is what they're doing. This is their agenda. They've already torn down the family. They've torn down ethics. They've torn down God. They have to tear down men. They've already torn down women. It's just, it's honestly just crazy. I'm not sure where all this ends, but I think one angle for sure that Steve Pachinik had, that's that this is the death of the mainstream media. This is their Achilles heel. They're all a bunch of perverts. They all have a double standard. And at the end of the day, they sell out their souls for the job. And that's just the sad truth. All right, let me do a quick news blitz here, and then I think I'll have time to get some callers. The economy is back, and now Christmas bonuses are expected to jump this year under the first year of the Trump regime. So I hope that's true. I hope everybody is experiencing a better financial life, at least as much as you could in 1 year after Trump's presidency. We are starting to see jobs return. And unemployment is down. U.S. jobless claims fall as record run persists. Stock market records, unemployment lows, food stamp usage lows. But if you are in Clark County, 300 Clark County workers laid off. Now, you review this story. Most of them were actually government positions. In fact, well, they were all government positions. So is this the Trump administration starting to trim some of the fat out of our bloated government? You know, here's an interesting story, and, you're just reporting on the facts here. California business leaders call on Congress to pass Dreamer legislation. You know, this is a good topic, and I've actually got a caller that calls in, and I want to have a detailed discussion with her. I think she'll call in next week, and maybe we can have that discussion. But here was the little thing I wanted to pull out. About 57 of every 100 jobs in Silicon Valley requiring a bachelor's degree or higher are filled by someone who isn't born in the United States. Now you see why the liberals want open borders. Now you see why the good liberals that work in Silicon Valley want labor from overseas. It's cheaper. They don't want to hire Americans. They have to pay Americans more. So that's just what you've got going on there. And I don't even think that applies to DACA recipients. In fact, I think that that actually hurts DACA recipients, hiring people from overseas. But that's why we want to have a Make America First policy. U.S. government planned false flag attack to start war with Soviet Union, JFK documents. So another release of JFK documents show more government false flags. And the conspiracy theorist, InfoWars, Alex Jones, have been telling you that this goes on for decades and decades. Finally, maybe people will admit that we were right. Garland Black Friday shopper has been out front of Best Buy for days. People are more obsessed with buying a television than they are, well, honestly, anything else. Their own health, their family. I mean, it's just insane. Okay, and some craziness here. 64 locations around the world are now hearing this mysterious boom. The story is on Daily Mail. They've mapped it all out. What is this mysterious boom? There's literally no answers. No answers have been provided. It's just a mystery. Earthquake warning. U.S. struck by 134 tremors in 1 week on most dangerous fault lines. So the experts are saying a big earthquake is expected. Folks, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks to everybody that tuned in. Thanks for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of our Black Friday through Monday, Cyber Monday specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge discounts, free shipping. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. The War Room signs off. Until Thanksgiving weekend is over, you stay classy, InfoWarriors.